you.
I can do that. All right. And I can just leave it sit here and put it all up, right? Good, good, good. All right, we'll be turning over to 1 Peter, if you would. And let me just take you through a few reminders of last time I was here, what, a couple months ago? Maybe a little less. But we were talking about brotherly love and just, and in particular, the examples that we see in the Bible of that. In fact, I think I started out with Charlie Kirk's example and what a difference his life made, not only for politics, you know, if you're conservative, but even more so as a Christian. The world, of course, keeps the emphasis on his political life. But the one thing that, and I know a lot of you have listened to him, I've listened to most everything he's ever done over the years, and he always talked about the Lord Jesus Christ every single time. And just that example. And then we looked at and talked about some examples in the Word of God that Paul points out in particular. The thing that we now know even more so as a result of Charlie Kirk's assassination is, you know, that church attendance has doubled and tripled in this country, depending on what part of the country you're in. Doubled, minimum. Because of one man's testimony. Now just think if the rest of us would do that. Okay? And what we really focused on last time was just looking at these people that Paul kind of pointed out, some of them, and how their life affected others to the point that they're mentioned in the Word of God. I mean, I'd just like to be the unnamed brother, you know? That'd be awesome. But these guys were mentioned by name. In fact, if you go, I know we didn't name them all by a long shot, but I know we talked about Tychicus, Epaphroditus, Onesimus, Aphra, Archippus, several others. But there are at least 29 that I know that I referenced even in passing last time. And I know there's even more. I didn't catch all of them for sure. And that's not counting the Gospels at all. So you and I have some responsibilities. And one of the things that I want to do specifically that we didn't get to last time is what I told Bob. This is really, last week was really the introduction into what do we do with that knowledge and information. We are blessed here in the knowledge that we have. What I fear for myself, but that's going to include all of us, is the responsibility or not coming through with actually using all that God has equipped us with. God doesn't equip us to hang it in the shed and leave it, right? God's not like us. We want to, if we got the money, we would buy everything we could, every cool tool, every whatever, and it'd be in there, even if we only use it one time ever, if that. At least us guys, that's how we are. We like that. It looks cool, and we just like to go out there and stand in the middle of it, right? Just like, ooh, you know? God's not like that. God doesn't do anything without a reason, okay? God doesn't equip us just so that we have a whole bunch of stuff. And it's cool stuff. And we have biblical knowledge that most Christians, I mean, you know, we always hear in the social world, the 1%, they're so wicked. You realize that we're among the 1% when it comes to Bible doctrine and knowledge? Us and a lot of the other folks that we know around the country and the world. We are rich in those things. The question is, what are we doing with that? Now, in this class, we're not young anymore. Right? Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I mean, has anybody been even saved less than 20 years in here? Okay, I was going to say, I think And how long for you guys?
17.
17, okay. Anybody else? 30 or less? 30, okay. 40? Yeah. 50? I'm just short of 50. I'm just short of that. This one is more than that. This one at 6 years old asked Mom and Dad, hey, can I go to church? No. So she just walked out the door on Sunday morning and went and found one. 6 years old.
They
God blessed me though with that, see.
It was a Christian church.
Yeah, it was. But it was the desire. Now, we're saved. We're equipped. We got the barn full of everything, right? Is it rusty? Is it used? Is it lent out? You know? It should be a continual oil, right? I mean, that's really what it's supposed to be. So I want to look today with knowing all those things and the limited time, what, 6 minutes now? Is that it? that we've got to look at these things. I got to skip some, even with the protracted 20 minutes. But I want to come over here and really start here, because here's the thing I want us to ask. Okay, I used Charlie Kirk last time, and I'm using him not because he's a Bible-believing Christian like us, but because he had a life that made a difference. People got saved. People started going to church. I mean, praise the Lord. I don't care what his doctrine was. There's fruit. And I don't know his heart, but God does, and I'm guessing it was just as wicked as mine, but focused, very focused. So the question for you and I is, what have we done? Which is where we like to start, because then we can look back at past glory, so to speak. But more importantly, what am I doing to make a difference? Okay? We should be making, especially this group, and I'm including myself in this, because we are not, you know, what's the word Paul uses? My mind's from Blake. We are not novices, okay? And if you've been in this church any time and you're a novice, that's on you, okay? We don't have any of those in here, all right? But the question is, what are you doing? How are you growing? Because just because you've been saved 30, 40, 50 years is no excuse to stop growing. And more importantly, not only growing, but applying, using it. In fact, we have some responsibilities in that we're going to look at. So let's come over to 1 Peter chapter 5. And I'm sifting. Okay, Bob, so we can get through. You know, somebody used up some of my time. But anyway, by the way, and I really was just joking there, because, you know, you're the only class that does this, that prays ahead of time. Yeah. And it always convicts me, because I always think prayer is my weakest area. And I pray you don't ever stop, because this is important. This is the number one weapon that we have. We focus on the Word of God, and should, and need to continue. But prayer is our number one weapon. I mean, we're only supposed to do it how often? Oh, continually. Okay. So if you're breathing, you should be in prayer. Everything, our conversation should be an interruption of the ongoing. Try that sometime. I'm standing before you just confessing. I don't do that all the time. I try to sometimes, there's a confession right there without meaning to. I try to do that sometimes, and then of course you get distracted. Not by bad things, you just get distracted. Not because the world that you were just a part of or doing is wicked, but just because it's all against you, wicked. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is intending to distract us, and it does. Me, at least. So, 1 Peter chapter 5. I just want to read a few verses, and we're going to skip around a little bit and get to the meat here in a second. But I want to start, and I'm going to ask you to take notes if you've, because you're not novices. But I'm also going to give you some verses to read. I'm just going to prepare you for that. So make sure your Bibles are open. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Notice there's a colon at the end of that. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Now, right away, you see the elders. Second word in, the elders which are among you. Now, who's he talking to? Who are the elders? Come on, we don't have much time. We got it.
They were all old, so we can't make
it. Right? What?
All of us.
It is all of us.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Because
yeah.
Doctrinally, a lot of times people say, well, those are the leaders of the church. Okay. Yeah. I can go along with that. But it is more than that, because how many applications to Scripture is there? Every single one, right? How many? Doctrinal? Historical? And what?
Spiritual,
practical, however you want to say that. So the elders, we are all elders, okay, at this point, we have some responsibilities here. And by the way, it says, oh, that's just for the leaders of the church. So my question is, why are you not a leader in your church? Because that is also the job. If you're saved, you're supposed to be leading. So, no, I just follow. Well, what do you think leaders are? Leaders are people who know how to follow. If you can't follow, you can't lead. It's that simple. And that's where we have problems with some of our leaders. Okay? We have a responsibility to lead by what?
Example.
Okay? By example and sample. So, we want to put this application on there. He's exhorting us, number one, to do this. We're to be witness of the sufferings of Christ, because we are to be partakers of that. We don't really understand it outside of mechanics, if you will, I think, in our country. We are, number two, or verse two, to feed the flock. There's a lot going on here. So, number one, there in verse two. Tell me, what does it say we're supposed to be doing? Feed the flock. There's nobody in here that's not exempt from that. Right? All of us are supposed to be feeding the flock. Feed, feed, feed. You can't grow if you don't eat, right? And you can't grow properly if you don't eat well. Well, we eat great in this church. Okay, so that's not a problem. Put a finger or whatever there and come over to John chapter 21. John 21. Now you know where I'm going, more than likely, I hope. Okay? Because I'm saying this, but I'm not just telling you, this is what the Word of God tells us. Okay? Verse 2 says feed the flock. Mark doesn't say feed the flock. Bob doesn't say feed the flock. The Bible says feed the flock. And in John 21, verses 15, 16, and 17, we have the story of what? Somebody tell me, come on. Huh? Feeding sheep, right? Peter and Jesus, you know that whole story. They're fishing, they're not catching, then boom, they catch stuff, and Peter and him are having this discussion now on the beach. And verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Question. He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. We know the whole thing. I'm not going to read the whole thing for time's sake. But let me ask something. We know the whole thing. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, pull on yards. Did Peter do it?
Yes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We're in 1 Peter, okay?
Right.
So he was used mightily and was so humbled, which I have to believe really goes, because, you know, he's not a humble guy when you look at him in the Gospels. But when you get beyond that, and by beyond that I mean the cock crowing, I guarantee you, just being human like us, that had to bother him until the day of his death, his martyrdom. Had to. But he was a humble guy after that. He was still a bold guy, but it was humble. He matured. He grew up. I love Peter. And people are like, oh, Peter, man, he's just a foot-in-the-mouth guy. And let me ask you this. Who else walked on water besides Jesus?
Peter.
Yeah. So, yeah, go ahead and throw shade at him if you want, but he's the only other guy walking on water, man. So that's pretty cool. He got out of the boat. I'd like to be that guy. You're going to make mistakes, so might as well, what's the term, fall forward, right? Praise the Lord, man. I dig Peter. I think he's awesome. So, looking at that, did he feed the flock, feed the sheep? He did. He did his job. Look at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 21. Proverbs 10, if somebody gets there.
Where at?
10:21. Go ahead and read it. Okay, I got it. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The lips of the righteous feed many. Our job, we're right, we're the righteous. I know this is Old Testament, but we still fall under the fact that we're righteous. Where do we get our our righteousness? Jesus Christ. Okay? If you're saved, you have Jesus Christ. That means you have His righteousness. That means the lips of the righteous are supposed to what? There you go. Okay? Word of God. Not me. But I am going to exhort you, like Peter did, to do that. Verse 3 of 1 Peter 5. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. So what's the thing that jumps out at you there? Being in samples. That's exactly it. That's our job. Especially those of us here who are not young anymore. Because we have been around the block. Because we have been knocked down. You know, you say, oh, been around the block enough times to get knocked down. I've been around the block enough times to have tire treads on my back. Okay? Several sets. And I know a lot of you have too. Okay? Don't let that go to waste. Don't we have the judgment seat of Christ and like, oh, I was supposed to, yes, be in samples. I know young people are frustrating. I know there are people that walk in these doors. You guys reference life issues Thanksgiving. I know that's frustrating working with those people sometimes and dealing with them. How frustrating do you think you and I are to the Lord? When you think that and you feel, and we all do sometimes. I mean, I was one of those people once a long time ago, and I kind of cut my teeth on that kind of thing. But that's how I am with, and you are with the Lord. I'd like to say it wasn't a daily basis, but I suspect if I heard from the Lord on that, it might be a little different than what I would say or you would say. Frustrating to know what you're supposed to be doing and not do it. These folks can't. The chemical imbalance that goes on when you do those kind of things for an extended time, it's rough. They're putting a lot more effort. This is a fact now, I'm just tell you. A lot of those folks out of life issues are putting a lot more effort and getting less out of it than you and I do. It's going to take time for the Word of God to be in there and to make a change, which it will. It will. I'm a testimony of that. Some of you are too. Okay? So don't get impatient with them. We're supposed to be patient, loving, kind, right? Long-suffering, like Jesus is with us every single day. That's the job. And, you know, oh, man, I'm 50, 60, 70, I still got... This is nothing, right? This is not even barely a drop. You know, a leaf hits the water, and it's not a drop, and it's so... I'm not sure that our lifetimes are even that when it comes to hitting a pond. And we're going to complain about it? When I complain or have that in my heart and mind, what that means is my focus is on me and my time, not him and doing things in his time. What's pastor say all the time, you know? Right? On time. On time. That's not our time. That's his time. So our job is to... And notice what he says here. I just want you to read what the Word of God says. It says, but being. Now, I know it's a one-syllable form, but I think I've talked with you guys about this before, the difference between doing and being. Most of us, especially young Christians, we do things because we want to be what we see in others, right? That's how I was with my spiritual dad in the Lord. I was doing everything because I wanted to be like him, be like Mike, right? We're all old enough to remember that. I want to be like Mike, right? Yeah, let's be like Jesus, okay? And we should never be saying, what would Jesus do? We should be showing people what Jesus would do. And then when they ask why, we have an answer. That took me a while to figure out, too, that that's the correct order, is to be, and then when they ask. I never forget the time I'm reading through there, and when they ask, have an answer. I'm like, whoa, they got to ask first? That wasn't in my order of how to conduct myself and execute the mission. I'm kicking down doors for Jesus, you know. And all of a sudden I see that, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I am way out of line. I need to shut up, which is tough for me, as you know. I need to shut up and answer when I'm asked. But people aren't going to ask if they don't see something different, if they don't see something that they need. And you might say, well, I don't know what they need. You don't have to know. We're a servant, sold under sin, right? I mean, sold unto the Lord. He bought and paid for us. I'm supposed to be what I'm supposed to be. And then he knows what's going on with everybody else. I don't. And then somebody walks up and asks you a question or asks you to pray. Or God just opens a door because he knows. Again, the focus shouldn't be on me, on us, but on him. Being. Remember, if I'm being what I need to be, then God can do with me whatever he wants to. All right? Yes, sir.
To make a comment, because what you said made a passage of scripture come to mind. When we do get irritated with folks that are in recovery ministries and things like that, think about what God said in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed.
Yeah.
Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
Amen. I mean, honestly, ask yourself, how would you like to, live in the age we are now or in the Old Testament in one of those ages? We would all be in trouble.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, amen. Amen to that. Okay.
Okay, another part of this verse that you haven't really talked about, it says we're not to be lords over the flock.
Correct.
Meaning we're not to be know-it-alls. Oh, I know it all.
Yes.
You know.
That's right. Because the bottom line is, no matter what I know, it doesn't even make a drop in the bottom of the thimble compared to the Lord.
Right.
And when we're being lords, and let's be honest, we all sometimes in our little areas, you don't have to try. That's called the flesh. It just automatically does that and puts the Bible-believing window dressing on it. And all of a sudden you're like, well, how come they got an attitude?
There's no room for the real Lord.
That's exactly it. If we are being lords, then the Lord is not seen. Which, maybe this is for some of you, but it just made me think of when John the Baptist showed up. Proclaiming everything he did. But there's one thing he said that every Jew present gawked at when he said. And that's when he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Which take it away. Because they all have been taking a lamb. Every Passover, right? They're doing that. And he's saying, this is the Lamb. That is a proclamation that was like, hey, stop the presses, you know, breaking news, you know, here, oh my gosh. John the Baptist lost his mind. He's saying this little carpenter, I'm not sure he's a little guy personally, but I can read descriptions, not the, what I call the, I need to be nice here. The European Jesus. I have another name for him in my mind, but I won't say. But you're exactly right. And here's look at 1 Corinthians 10. You're going to give me another week, bro. Yes. Holy smokes. I'm not even halfway through. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'm saying there's really no way to get to the meat of what I wanted to hit today, actually. 1 Corinthians 10, okay? Let's see. Everybody there? All right. Dave, you want to read verse 11 for me, please?
So now all these things that happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition,
upon whom the ends of the world are come.
Kind of self-explanatory, isn't it? Right? All these things, what things? Well, if you go back, you start looking at these, which I always like to do, but he's going through, and in the first few verses, he's talking about making some points that are really important, particularly in verse 4, talking about, you know, the rock, capital R, being Jesus, and the whole reason why Moses didn't make it into the promised land. You can't strike the rock, okay? You got to speak to it, right? But they all drink of that spiritual rock. He's making some, and then in verse 6, keeping verse 11 in mind, but verse 6, which precedes it, obviously. Now, these things were examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Well, what are the evil things they lusted after? Because we hear lust and we think physical, right? What they lust after? They idolize. Idolatry, man. And idolatry is so strong in all of our lives today. I'm not going to say the world. It is all of our lives. And we got to fight that. Now, does that lead to other things? Yeah, notice they're always like, let's build some golden calves. Everybody get naked. Let's have mosh pit. Yeah, I mean, I'm like, if people think mosh pits and rock concerts got something on it, you're like, yeah, you really need to read your Bible, okay? Yeah, these folks wanted to get naked in a heartbeat. I mean, it's insane. But that's symptomatic. That wasn't the real problem. The real problem was the idolatry. That's what's going on. What is going on in here?
It's right where we are.
Right here.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, the modern Christian church, we all like to plan and go, man. You know, the church that a lot of us came out of, looking at it going, oh, man. But, you know, let's quit doing that. Let's look at ourselves because we're doing it too. Different things maybe, but we're still doing it. And God doesn't care about what the thing is. He cares that it's happening. Because he's seeing in here. He knows what's going on. The thing that amazes me about God, that I really can't comprehend, is knowing how often and how much I would let him down. And I hate the word betrayal because I never want to be that, but we do. You know, if you love me, do what?
Keep my commandments.
Okay? When I was a young Christian, that used to really bug me because I'm like, Lord, I was like Peter, I was like, you know my heart, you know I love you. And he's like, I know, but not the way you need to. You don't understand. And before you can understand, you're going to have some wisdom. Before you get some wisdom, you're going to have some knowledge, which means you're just going to have to obey. Okay, well, why? Well, because you need to grow your faith. I thought faith, I just pray hard and do it. No. Faith is believing the Word of God to the point you actually apply it. You actually do it. You obey it. That song, I'm not on a hobby horse, but I lament the fact that we don't sing hymns at all anymore, or very rarely. Because, man, some of those hymns have some of the best lyrics that reminded me and convicted me in the midst of sin, before sin, as a young Christian, and even now, man, every now and then, you know, my mind goes off somewhere, and the next thing, you know, you're driving, you know. Your mind just takes off sometimes. And next thing you know, man, Holy Spirit of God brings an old hymn into my, and whoa, man, I'm just like, okay, God, I get it, yeah. Let me confess and forsake this. It's important, especially for you and I. And this is really where I want to go, but we're just not going to have the time this time. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We have, as elders, a responsibility and clear instruction right there in 1 Peter. Very clear. And I may have a lot of flaws, and I do. But I don't want to live in excuses. And the fact of the matter is, everyone in this room, in this church, that's an elder, like we're talking about, somebody's been around the block, And has the knowledge that we have a responsibility to, number one, be obedient, because that brings glory and honor to the Father, which is our job, to bring honor to God, period. I know we soul win. I know we're just, and honestly, this is all discipleship, but a whole different message. But that's really what we're talking about. If you really understand discipleship, and you should be discipling, especially as an elder, again, that's not a suggestion. That's just what the Word of God says. Okay? So don't be upset with me. You and I have things that these folks don't. I think I mentioned this last time. I find it not ironic, but very apropos that just literally down this hall are the young people who are doing a good job. That class is doing a great job. They are producing out there. But you know what they need? They need people. They need us. For an example, to sometimes be paying attention to the Holy Spirit of God, to just sit down with them. Or when they come and say hi, to stop from what we're doing or where we're going and listen. Because they need people to talk to. They want to. They want to. I will not use names, but the last few years in particular, there's been some of those young folks that have just stopped me and still do sometimes and just talk. And God pressed on me, Mark, shut up. Just listen. Shut up. Okay. And after a while, they'll ask you what's on their heart. You might not even recognize it. But then all of a sudden, months later, you hear them saying something, or somebody else saying something. Hey, I heard this from so-and-so. Oh, I remember that conversation. You and I have what they don't have and can't get in the next few years, and that is time. We got time under our belts. We have experience. We have victory, and we have suffering, failure. And when you're young and you're gung-ho and you have a failure, the world is coming to an end. You know what I'm saying? You remember? They need you and I as an anchor, a brother and sister in Christ, a part of the body that they can latch on to. Because they want to. But they have what we still deal with, and that's pride. But if you and I will just get out of our own way and be open and available, what's that old thing? The best ability is availability. I'll tell you what. This is not me talking about me. It's really not. But it's something that if Angie was in here, she's on our safety and security team. The biggest thing that our safety and security team is able to do is be available for those divine appointments. And I'm telling you, they happen almost every week. And you and I need to be available for those divine appointments because they are out there looking. The waves are a little higher than they have the experience for. And they just want to pull into a port and get rest for a minute. And you and I can be that port, where they can pull in. We're not the Lord. We're the dock. We're the marina they can pull into. And then if we listen, and the Holy Spirit of God gives us the words, because they don't know everything we know. We don't even remember everything we know, right? I don't. But I'm telling you, this church needs you and I to be what we're supposed to be, to feed the flock, particularly these young. Because let's face it, I mean, you guys loaded that in 3 hours yesterday. That is impressive. That's why I said, bless you. That's not what I said. That's why I said they must have been a bunch of young guys. Because old guys tend to outperform young guys. Not because we're stronger. We're not anymore.
We don't have muscles.
We don't, man. I mean, it is so funny. Now, I'll just show you guys. But my grandson said, well, Dad, Grandpa, you still got some muscle. I said, yeah, but don't squeeze it. Yeah. It's not like this anymore. It's, I don't know, like a biscuit or something. Depends on where you go, I guess. But so, you know what I'm saying? I mean, look, we have a unique place, and we need to quit shirking our responsibility. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention. I've been paying attention. Personal reasons. But some of you know, I've preached at this pulpit a lot before I was even in this church, and then later when it was Jimmy's. And love Jimmy and Ann. But I've seen what God has done to use Bob and Carrie. And this place is growing. And it's not for numbers. You guys know about this. They're not here for numbers. They're here to accomplish the mission. And for that to happen, we all got to be on board. Okay? I love going to dinner with you guys because I feel like I'm part of this class, you know? Plus, we're, you know, close to the same age, so. But. Say what?
You're not part of the class?
I am part of this class. Well, you know, it's why, you know, and I love that you guys usually figure that out, but, you know, you notice I rarely give, what's the word, suggestions about where to go. Because I don't care. I'm not there for the food. I will complain about it if it's not good. Okay. But I'm not there for the food. Yes. You know why? I need that fellowship. Dave needs that fellowship. You need that fellowship. I say Dave just because when you drive and you know, every minute we can get with the brothers and sisters is precious. These young people, man, they're out there doing things and learning that do and be thing and or not. But they got the heart, they got the zeal. They don't have the experience, they don't have the time, and they need us, we need them, because they encourage us when we see that, don't they? I mean, they do me. I love seeing these young people, especially pastor's kids. I got three pastor's kids. We all have this, I know it's similar. I only got one of them in ministry, and that's not even a church that I wish I were in, but at least they're there. But the rest of them, no. I know your heartache. We know each other's heartache in that. And it's tough for PKs. They live a life that most people never do and wouldn't want to. So to see them, and if you're not praying for them, shame on you. I'm not apologize for that. They need prayer. We need to be praying for them. My prayer is the weakest area of my life. I know, but that, I will be honest. That is the one area I'm probably strongest on between my family and spiritual family. But is these PKs? Because man, the assault on them. If you've never been a PK, you just do not understand what they have got to go through. And listen to and see and hear said about their parents and while they're still learning life and the Lord. It's hard. And God forbid that we should sin and not praying for them. Because they need it. And we are commanded to do it. And we don't have an excuse. I will wrap up with this. And I do have a whole nother lesson whenever you want to rest again. That follows up on this and puts some real meat to the bone. I haven't even gone through this. Let's do this. First Thessalonians 1 and verse 7. He says, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. What's he talking about? We know the story. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks, we all know this, remembering without ceasing, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Now, that's what we have that they don't. And that's what we need to be, continue to be in samples of. Why? So that, so that you were in samples to all that believe in. We are, we need to be in samples to these young folks. And the rest of the church, by the way. And the rest of the folks our age. To get busy. Don't waste these last, how many years or decades we have. Well, we don't have any promise to that. You don't want to waste them. You don't want to be like the unfaithful servant, steward that, you know, well, you gave me the one, so I went and hid it so nothing, nobody could steal it. Let's not do that. God has given us a bunch of them, right? We got, you have 5 or 10 by now, not more. Don't stop investing, man. Let's get busy with that. That is our responsibility. Okay? And again, I've only read you the Word of God, and we're talking about it. But I will not apologize for that, and I don't think I need to with you guys, because you got your heads on spiritually. But the question is, are we increasing our faith by continuing to trust and obey and being what we need to be so that God can use us with these folks, young, middle-aged, and our age? But He wants to use you and me. And, as you see, He told us this is what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to feed them. We are supposed to be in samples. Not in word, but in deed. Because we all know, young people see through those words in a heartbeat. Right? So do we. Expect that. We've been around enough that, why would you get upset because somebody's a mess? We've all been a mess. We need to love them, be an example for them, and when they ask, or when they talk, like me, okay, Lord, you guys will sometimes see me, I'll be like this. You know why? I am reminding myself to keep my mouth shut.
I go like this.
And then, yeah. I don't have enough wherewith, so I'm like this a lot because I'm just trying to, you know. We're to be prepared vessels. God's used most of our lives to prepare us. We need to be willing to get out there in the water with these folks and be there for them. Not because we know everything, but because God wants to use us where they're at. And I don't know where they're at, but God does. Amen? Amen. That's the middle portion. So, next time we'll get into the meat. All right, that's just the admonition and the exhortation for this time. All right. Rich, you want to close us in prayer, please, brother?
Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time together and you know, the fellowship that we have here, and it's very precious. Thank you again for the Word of God. Thank you for Bob, Carrie, and all those who work so hard. And Lord, help us to always be grateful and just walk with us today. And we thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.